Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Mr. Gary, happy Mother's Day. That's right.
No, we didn't get everybody.
We didn't get everybody. Uh-oh. We missed some folks.
Well, there's some ladies over here.
Oh, there we go.
We'll be mothers someday.
There you go. That's right. Future mothers. That's right. Like FFA, future
way
farmers,
like
future mothers.
In like 50 years.
Way, way out.
When you get married in 50 years.
All right. You know, the interesting thing is
my wife got home.
Uh-oh.
She gets a rest. That's right.
Be a rough ride home, Gary.
I know.
Got to get her taken care of, pal. when we were praying earlier, I need to say is, just while we're praying there, sometimes like the other folks take over, but just on the inside, Adrian, I just sense the Holy Spirit is going to give you a platform. You kind of wonder, like, where is my platform? God's going to give you a platform in this community, and I see yourself, Him giving you favor to speak into people's lives. Because, you know, sometimes there's a lot of, just people, you know, sometimes they position themselves. And you know what? When God brings the increase and He brings the favor, nobody can change that. And when you have, you know, some people are an echo and some people are a voice. And I just hear on the inside, you're a voice, not an echo. And there's a difference between that. But I think tonight really showed me, if you've ever been in churches before over the years, there's different churches that I've been in. They have different functions, and or I would say functions, but they have different emphasis on them. One was, you know, to train people. But another church that I was in when I was younger, and when you get into denominational churches, and take this right, okay, when I'm going to say this, but sometimes, you know, the old term is throwbacks. You know, sometimes there's some people in churches that are throwbacks that society would consider. They're, you know, either whatever, you know, things in their life socially, they're not acceptable, but the church accepts people. And I just remember being in churches before that, you know, there'd be people that would be in churches, and even though they were cared for, there were sometimes, you know, there was kind of a cynical attitude towards some of those people, you know. And unfortunately, even some of the leadership that I've been under, the pastors that I've known, is just kind of it's you know, they don't take these people seriously. And sometimes, you know, we're dealing with people sometimes that they have limited, you know, mental capacity or emotional capacity. I understand that. But there's still, I remember one time there was a guy that he helped we had a program that was kind of like Boy Scouts when I was a kid. And, you know, he was kind of awkward gentleman, but he helped and he had a great heart and everything. And I remember we had a church gathering at somebody's house one time, and you know, it was a single gentleman, and so, you know, he wasn't very socially couth sometimes, and there was reasons he was single. But the point is that he was the brunt of the joke. They had a little skit thing, and he was the brunt of the joke. And, I mean, even as a young kid, I'm thinking, but that's not like here. Right. You know, I've seen that over the years with people. They're kind of, you know, there is compassion there for people, but that's one thing I believe with this church is that, you know, we may be at different levels, you know, and again, your past is your past. I remember you know, seeing some people that, you know, our pastor at the time, people at Command, was like, well, this is their past. And like, we were supposed to have, in some situations, I understand, but then it was almost as if, okay, but how are they going to get past that if we're still talking about it? And again, your past is your past. Nobody cares about it here. I mean, it doesn't, right? We celebrate the good things of your past, right? Like you know, your family, being born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, water baptized. There was something about me that, you know, that changed. There's a spiritual dynamic when I got water baptized. If you're not water baptized, we need to get water baptized. But there's something about that, because when we are water baptized in the book of Colossians, it talks about we identify with Christ. You know, all of those things are underwater. When we come up, we're brand new. We go down with Christ, but when we come up, we're made whole. I mean, we're not saved because of water baptism, but it's a symbolic of something that has happened internally. And so, you know, if we're really, and again, I choose to, you know, we want to see the value in all people, right? You know, there are strengths that everybody here has, and God wants, you know, we're not all the same. And I did not know Dean had a musical background. So, you know, what is going on there, Dean? You know, come on. But we all have strengths, right? We all have things that God has put in us. And we definitely want to recognize those things. And, you know, sometimes not kind of like, well, I wish we'd cut things short so I can preach. Sometimes I'm like, let's just keep going, right? Amen. We can always pick things up next time. We can always do things next time, you know? But it just, and again, there's an anointing with the teaching corporately, but sometimes the Holy Ghost just has things to do that he needs a TCB. He needs to take care of business, right? He needs to impart some things into you. And but anyway, I just want to mention a few things about moms, and then we'll close in prayer tonight. But, you know, this is something that, this may sound negative, but I want you to hear it really quick. And it really is going to show us, as far as believers, you know, mothers are very special, and you are not birthing people. Okay? You're not birthing people. Let me just say this. Mothers, it gives a grace to it. There is a grace to mothers. There is this elegance to being a mother. And you know what? No matter what the devil and his crowd says, there is you need to be loud and proud to be moms. It's Mary was she was blessed to have Jesus. It was a great honor. It's a great honor to be mothers. But I want to read this really quick too, and I don't want to get negative. What I want to do tonight really quick is to bring out the people that, you know what, we need to celebrate. Back in January 10th of 1963, the House of Representatives reviewed a documentation called "The Communist Goals for Taking Over America." All right. Later, the Senate reviewed this document. So what this is a communist blueprint for them to take over America. I want to read a few things here really quick, and, you know, so that we don't think that we're living in this crazy world, but I also want you to just take a moment to see where you're at right now and to celebrate a few things. So here's some points that, again, this is not tinfoil, I'm wacko crazy. This was a document, again, January 10th, 1963, that Congress began to, the House and then eventually the Senate, reviewed, and we are seeing these things now, right? This is almost very prophetic, it seems like, and eerie. But this is what the devil's agenda is, but want to look at some things, and it's going to pertain to moms. So again, what it is these are 45 things that the communist agenda, this was documented by them, that they were wanting to take over America. And again, our Congress reviewed these things, and there was a discussion in 1963. They were going to break down cultural standards of morality by promoting, obviously, obscene books, magazines, and the like, and through television and radio. Present, obviously, perverted lifestyles, right? We all know what that is. To become normal, natural, and healthy. They were going to infiltrate the churches, number 27, and replace the revealed religion with social religion. They wanted to discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need religious crutch. Okay? This is a document. This is history. This is not me just making stuff up, right? Then it goes on to eliminate prayer, here we go, or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds of violating the principles of separation of church and state. Again, they don't understand. They're misguiding that. Here we go. Discredit the family as an institution. Do we see that? Moms, that's why you're important. Okay? This is why it's very important for you. Encourage, again, promiscuity, and then also easy divorce. 41 is to emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. See, the negative influence. The devil and his crowd wants to have they view you as negative influence on your children. Attribute prejudices and mental blocks and the retarding of children to suppress the influence of what? Parents. So again, these are things. I want to say something to you really quick here, and then go, that's really negative. But my point in saying this is, number one, how many are standing here who disagree with that, right? Okay? So what this means is you didn't buy into the lie, right? That should be celebrated,
amen.
Right? You're not a birthing person. You are a mother that has been gifted and graced by God to maintain and propagate and promote godly seed into this thing. That's something devil hates is anybody godly that's going to stand up and move forward and do something for the kingdom. He hates it. And how is he going to destroy it? Well, he's going to destroy the family where godliness is encouraged. If he can get kids off, break up the family, the home life, or again, that you're not going to have strong Christian morals and want to develop your kids in the right direction, he's going to try to do that. But I just wanted to bring that out. Again, there's no condemnation, on anything. But my point is this, that, maybe you've experienced things and we've all experienced things and whatever it is, with families or anything. I mean, I've talked about my family. My goodness, was the biggest, hottest mess since peanut butter. I mean, you talk about dysfunction in my extended family. I mean, there ain't nobody that had a dysfunction like my family. So there's definitely no condemnation. But what I am saying is this, that we need to celebrate tonight that we are God-fearing people,
yes,
that want to raise our kids,
yes,
in the Lord. And so a few things I want to share. Mary, the Lord... we think of things that, Jesus was this one-man team and he just showed up and, he just took care of business and everything's great. God put people in Jesus' path because he needed people. Mm-hmm. The disciples, he needs people. And the biggest lie to sit back and say, well, God doesn't need me, that's the biggest lie, satanic lie ever, because he needs people. He needs you. He needs angels.
Amen.
Of course, God can do, things on his own and he's wonderful and powerful, but he's commissioned the gospel. He's commissioned these things to us to do, and he needs us to do things. The Lord put things in Mary's heart. Luke 2:19 says, but Mary kept and pondered them in her heart when Jesus was 12 years old in Jerusalem at the temple, asking the doctors of the law questions. What did he say when the angel came to Mary? He said, you're going to have a baby. His name is called what? Emmanuel. Because what? God is with us. So God is revealing his will, and he's revealing things to who? A mom. About her what? Her children. So, there is something we can pray and have revelation on our kids. Now, if it wasn't important that Mary didn't have that revelation, God would not have said that to her, and she would not have had revelation about who Jesus was. Because Mary was there, and Joseph for a time, but Mary was there especially to help protect Jesus and to develop him. Why? Because God put things in her heart. The Father did. Luke 2:49 says, out of the message, and again, it says, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had here a dealings with my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So they went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. And his mother held these things dearly and deeply within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by God and people. Well, who do you think was there to help develop him? Mary. She helped. Nobody else had a clue what was going on, but she's the one that put things in her heart and put them on the table and said, very interesting. And again, Luke 2:51 says that, put things in her heart. Now, John 2:1-10, I want to read this. And it says, "The next day," they were talking about Jesus when he turned the water into wine, There was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, and so Jesus' mother told him, "Well, they have no more wine." Here we go. Don't you just love Jesus' answer? He goes, "Dear woman," "Where, woman?" "That's not our problem." You know, Jesus is saying, sounds like somebody else's problem. See, exactly. Corey's not here. That's his line. But Jesus is like, "Whoa, woman, hey now, that's not my problem. That sounds like somebody else's problem." And then Mama didn't just sit back and go, "Oh, okay, well, he's Jesus." No, what did she do? She said, Mother said, "Do whatever he tells you to." Mama does the old left boot of fellowship there. It kicks Jesus into gear, right? Now, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, and everybody, thinks that Jesus just was, and he was deity, and he had to develop, and he grew and developed. We see there in Mark chapter 4, right? And we also see, but Jesus grew, and we just read there in Luke that he grew in stature and wisdom, and we see his mother is helping him. Why? Because she knows the calling on his life. She is the one, pushing him along. Verse 11, "This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." So, the ministry kicked off, the first miracle happened, and then now his disciples have faith in him. All because of Mama seeing and recognizing the gift on Jesus, those things that were put in her heart. She's like, "This is the time." Interesting how Jesus' ministry really kicked off and the miracle started because his mother saw the gift in him and understood the timing. Moses' mother, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, I just want to, I'm leaving out a lot here, but that's okay. Exodus 2, chapter 1. Now, you know that there was a decree that Pharaoh decided, let's get all the, we're going to kill all the firstborn, two and under. And about this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she saw that there was a special baby, here we go, and kept him hidden for 3 months. See, God put something in Moses' mother that there was something special about this baby. See, and again, this is all the world system, the convenience. Well, I'm just, nothing we can do about it. We'll just let it go. He'll just have to be killed. But she took great extent to rescue Moses. And here's what happened. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch, and put the baby in a basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. And the baby's sister stood along at a distance watching to see what would happen. And then, of course, we know Pharaoh's daughter came along and rescued. So can you imagine putting your baby in basically a little basket sealed up, right? Setting him along the side of the Nile, and then, having your other... your daughter, Miriam, was watching Moses at the time. she went to extreme measures to rescue Moses. Where was dad at? Sorry, guys. Nothing against us, right? Okay, maybe he's working, you know. Well, they were enslaved at that time. But the point is that we see mothers are doing things, and without mothers, again, where would Jesus' ministry be? You know, I believe God would make a way, but still, God is using mothers, and there is a purpose, and there is a particular function that mothers have, that you have instinct, again, on things that others don't. God has put things in you specifically. And a few more things here before I go. Solomon and the two prostitutes. You know, 1 Kings chapter 3. There's wisdom here. But, you know, we read the scripture, and guys, it's really important to look at scripture and not just see things at the face value, right? With King David, well, David and Goliath, you know, it's just, he had great faith and really believed in God. There's so much revelation in that account. And like this, there's so much more revelation in this account than just, Solomon's wisdom. And then, you know, all of Israel, had fear because of, Solomon's wisdom. But we look at this here, but it really tells us more things. Verse 23, 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, then the king said, back up here. One of the ladies, her baby died, and the other one lived. And then the one that died did the baby swap. And then when they woke up, this isn't my baby, and she swapped it out. So they're standing before King Solomon at this time with this grievance. The real mother is coming and saying, this is actually my baby, and they're arguing about it. So it says, then King said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child, and each says that the dead child belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king, and he said, okay, divide the living child into two and give half to each of these women. Then the woman who really was the mother of the child and who loved him very much cried out and said, no, sir, give her the child. Don't kill him. But the other woman said, all right, it will be neither yours nor mine. Divide it between us. So, again, the mother here is going to say, okay, even if I never see the child again, I want the child to live. See, again, we're always looking at the kings, and that is, you know, God gave King Solomon extreme wisdom, but in this we see this. And I want to know here too, verse 28, and it says, the word of the king's decision spread quickly throughout the entire nation, and all the people who were awed, and they realized the great wisdom God had given him. Now I want to say this too, that even in the midst of these women being sinners, that mother instinct was still there. Isn't that interesting? They still had that inner mothering instinct, right? That there was still love. And because of God's wisdom, he still brought grace and mercy to that mother. Finally, Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Now this is Hannah. Hannah was barren. She was not able to have children. And she came before the Lord and said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you. Verse 11, it says, she made a vow, the Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. Now, how many would I mean, hey, you want to give me a kid? I'll just drop him off at the church and, only see him about once a year, right? And then you've never had kids before. You don't have any children. So, you know, that's kind of a big deal, the first one, right? And he will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign, be dedicated to the Lord, and his hair will never be cut. So again, Samuel and I are in the same boat together. All right. And in due time, he gave birth to a son, and she named him what? Samuel, for I asked the Lord for him. And then verse 24, and when when the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh, and they brought along a three-year-old bull. Okay, so they'd sacrifice. Verse 26, "Sir, do you remember me?" Talking about Eli, the prophet here. Hannah asks, "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this baby, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life, and they worship the Lord there." Now, that's not the end of the story. Okay, we always think, now, what would Samuel do? Samuel went on and became a great prophet. He was in King Solomon's life, King David's life. I mean, he spoke to the kings, and he gave direction, he corrected. And here we see in 1 Samuel 2:21, it says, "And the Lord blessed Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." So the interesting thing is, you know, Hannah is such a fascinating character because she gave her son, but God gave her back much more. Mm-hmm. That she let go of that call that Samuel had in his life. And we see that Samuel was when he was just a little boy, when Eli in the night, the Lord spoke to him mm-hmm. three times. And then Eli said, he kept coming to say, "Did you say something to me? Did you say something?" Eli said, "No. When the Lord says it again, say, 'I am your servant, hears you.'" Mm-hmm. And how there was that again, Hannah, even before that, she had the Lord had spoke to her that there was a call on Samuel's life, and that she loved God so much she was going to let Samuel go, and in return, five more children came her way. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. So you know, being a mother is not a birthing person. You're not just, you know, we're not just hatching and dispatching, and it's just a mechanical thing in it. But that's the thing of the devil. He wants to reduce everything to biology. Yeah. And, you know, we don't have any kind of like divine lineage from God the Father. We're all just lower than animals.
Yeah.
Because animals, at least now they have male and female. Now humans, we're like, what, 100 different weird whatever?
Yeah.
Can't even keep track, and I don't even really care. But the thing is, we are, cats are either male or female, but people are, they're cats and dogs and cars and chickens and mice and whatever. So it's like, okay, we're at Old McDonald's farm here. I didn't know what's going on here. But motherhood is so special. And you know what? The thing is that God is going to speak to moms about their kids. You know, like, "Oh, my kids are grown up," or they're, you know. No, he still is going to speak to you about your kids. Yeah. Amen. I really believe that God is going to speak to you. And you know, who has a heart for your kids more than you, mm-hmm. moms? And it's just one of those things where, you know, moms, we're not, you do so much, and we can't thank you enough, but there are just some things that, you know that you are a gift from God to your children. And there is something there that God has deposited into you that, you know, don't let the world beat you down, right? You heard that mom guilt thing, you know? You're like, no, you're good enough, right?
Amen.
And I'm not saying if you're creepy mom in prison and you've done really bad things, but I'm saying that, hello, you've got some things in you for your children, and I believe they're from God. And we see all the time in the Word that God uses moms. They're instrumental in the development of children to be successful. Without Hannah, where would Samuel be? Without Mary, where would Jesus be, right? Without Moses' mother, where would he be? Again, it's just these people that we, really look up to in the Word, that their mother was often the main ingredient or the person that catapulted them or God used to get them in the right position. So again, don't ever downplay your role as a mother, you know, because God's going to show you things about your kids, and that's not just to talk about, but it's to pray out. That's important too.
Yep.
That mothers, that we need to be prayers and pray for our kids. Well, not we. I'm not a mother. But, you know, but you. E-I, we, they, it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, Father, we thank you this time together, Lord Jesus. I pray over the mothers tonight, Lord, that there is peace tonight in the name of Jesus, that there is just a grace and a mercy, Lord Jesus, on moms. And we thank you that they're blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That they are, Lord, that they are special, Lord, and there is a, that it is a calling to be a mom. We just thank you in the name of Jesus that they're encouraged, that they're loved, Lord God. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, can I just say?
Yes.
Also, on behalf of Dwight, I think I can speak for Dwight and myself, that if you want a really good Mother's Day laugh tomorrow, to go look up Mom Goggles by the Skit Guys. Remember, Dwight, when we played Mom Goggles? When we had the screen?
Yeah.
That
was the best.
One other thing, too. There was a guy on there that had made an announcement. He had made a Mother's Day announcement to everybody that he had announced to the moms to make sure to get the laundry and the cleaning done by Saturday night so that you can enjoy Mother's Day. I'm glad he said it, not me, okay? I ain't.